الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحب إليه من والده وولده، وفي رواية: ومن والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic has been very well introduced by Mufti Ajaz, and the fact that it's an honor for us today that we have been selected to listen and been selected to speak on an illustrious topic as the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not the fact that we have made time, and I have made time, and you have made time in our busy schedules to come here, but instead that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted us and gave value to the time that we have, gave value to our lives by allowing us to listen and to hear and to speak about and to remind each other about the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look at people in the world today or in the past century, everyone has a sphere of influence. So if we are a academic, we may know certain professors or authors in our field, and they have a profound effect on us and our understanding of that subject, and we're impressed with them. But as you move away and you go into in the field of academics itself, but you move to a different field, let's just say even in medicine, but you have so many different fields of medicine, as you move away from field to another field, immediately the sphere of influence of that individual diminishes. And same thing of that sort we may say to the age and time. That we have people in the era and age of the 19th century who were very well known in the 19th century and had a profound effect on the way things were run and the way things went on in the 19th century. But today we don't remember them that much. Or we may read about them in the annals of history, and that's about it. And if we are talking about leaders of the American Revolution, or we're talking about the founding fathers of America, then this is something relevant to us as students of high school and college and grade school in America. But someone sitting in Namibia is not necessarily interested or has even heard of the founding fathers of this country. It doesn't affect him much. So people throughout the history of mankind, when we study them, they have a very specific era in which they have an effect, and a very specific target audience or a group of people that they have their effect on. And only those group of people remember them. But it is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who we see, as the ayah he recited, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a source of mercy for the worlds, that means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status and sphere of effect, it outdoes an era or an age and a group of people. Instead, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sphere of influence surpasses that of anyone else. And that is why today, as young American Muslims, we are sitting here in 2011 speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at this very moment, probably thousands, without exaggeration, thousands of places, not people, thousands of places are hosting similar events throughout the world. Countries have declared 12th of Rabiul Awal as an official holiday. They may be committing all sorts of other atrocities, but they make the 12th of Rabiul Awal a public holiday. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is remembered throughout the world, throughout every community. They are not Urdu speaking people, English speaking people, or Arabic speaking people. They are people who have never even dreamed of having enough money to go visit the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being remembered, and that is because the status that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoys in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran himself, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Tell them, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives kingdoms and takes away kingdom and leadership, and He grants honor and might and power, and at the same time He is the one who snatches away honor and makes people disgraced. As we saw in these past few weeks, people who are on the top, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flipped, ja'ala 'aliyaha safilaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things roll over. The throne from the king in a matter of seconds, in a matter of minutes. So that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such everlasting, you know, effect, and the fact that this whole ummah is remembering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it bears witness and testimony to the grand nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. We all know it's part of our aqidah, as he said. The first right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us is that we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the bottom of our hearts. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, actually Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said, لَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are, I swear, more beloved to me than everything. إِلَّا نَفْسِ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيَّ. Except for the soul that's between that's in my chest, that's between my sides. So other than myself, I love everything else. Now let me explain what does it mean, I love everything else besides myself. This is amazing. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is a person who probably we've heard, not only was he the second Khalifa, but also reached such levels of righteousness and piety and whatnot, that the Prophet ﷺ proclaimed that if there were, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر, if there was another Prophet, if there were, hypothetically speaking, another Prophet to come, then Umar radiallahu anhu has the attributes and the traits and characteristics to become the next Prophet. Hypothetically speaking, of course. So he is such a complete person that the Prophet ﷺ is giving this glad tidings to Umar radiallahu anhu. So now he says, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than everything in the world. And he's speaking the truth. He says, everything except for myself. So the Prophet ﷺ, we all know the status of Umar radiallahu anhu. But the Prophet ﷺ did not accept this. And did not say this is fine. That if we inculcate, then we automatically get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was thinking about this. That if it wasn't for the Prophet ﷺ, I would not have known who Allah is. I would have never been introduced to Jannah and Jahannam. I wouldn't know anything. How would I possibly lead a life of and gain salvation if I did not know who Allah was? You understand the thought process here now? So we have to tell ourselves, I have to love the Prophet ﷺ more than anyone else, because the Prophet ﷺ is the one who introduced me to Allah. And so that is the greatest gift of Allah, of the Prophet ﷺ to us, is that the Prophet ﷺ introduced us to Allah. Did you understand that? That's the greatest gift of the Prophet ﷺ, that he introduced us to who Allah is. And the Qur'an was revealed to him, and the Qur'an, which is a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, came to us through the Prophet ﷺ. So inshallah, by now, as a 10-year-old Muslim, as a 20-year-old Muslim, we know that we're supposed to love the Prophet ﷺ. And we inshallah aspire to one day love him the way the Sahaba did. But the question arises that, I understand, I accept, the Mawlana has told me that we're supposed to love the Prophet ﷺ. The hadith says that, I do. But I want to know a little bit more rationale behind that, a little bit more reasoning. So what do I get out of that? Why should I love the Prophet ﷺ? Because we always want to know the reasons behind things. So we look at the Prophet ﷺ, or actually we should look at anyone in the world. Why do you love your parents? Why do you love your friends? Why do you have friends on your social networking sites? Are the few reasons. Sometimes they see that, as happens when people get married and whatnot, they say, oh, this person, that should not be the only reason, of course, but this tends to be, unfortunately, in our culture. They look for beauty. Jamal, they say, oh, this person is very handsome, very beautiful. And they make that basis of a relationship. The non-Muslims will make that a basis for a haram relationship. We, of course, would not. We would make that a basis, not a basis, but I'd say the icing on the cake for cementing a relationship. But the thing is, that's definitely something. When a person is beautiful, we say, oh, look at that cute baby. Look at that really nice, handsome person. Look at that beautiful person. This is something that's attraction. You're naturally attracted to not only a person, a beautiful building, beautiful architecture, beautiful garden. Beauty itself attracts a person, right? And the second thing that we see that attracts us, jamal, and second thing would be kamal. Completeness of any sort. When something or someone has achieved something which no one other has, was broken a record, has won the dunking contest, all right, has won the three-pointer contest, or has won the Super Bowl. There's something that they have achieved, and you're like, wow, this is something really amazing. I really want to shake hands with that quarterback. I want to shake hands with this player. So you've seen that they've achieved something at a young age. Look at some of these billionaires, the Facebook guy and other guys. They're 24 years old, and they become a billionaire. You're like, okay, how in this world did this person do that? He's achieved something. So you want to meet this person, you want to sit down, you want to talk to him and whatnot. You're like, wow, look at this person. A young senator, a young this, a young that, whatever it may be. So kamal. And lastly, nawal. When someone gives us something, why should we not love the Prophet ﷺ more than anyone else? Let's look at the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. We all have heard definitely about the beauty of Yusuf ﷺ. أُعْطِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ, that he was given half of the beauty. And the fact that when the wife of Aziz Misr, the governor of Egypt, she called Yusuf ﷺ to walk just like this, you know. I can just imagine the court of the king was set up like this. And the women of these high-profiled, high-class women were all sitting in the queen's palace. And Yusuf alayhi salam at that time, who was a slave of the palace, "Ukhruj alayhin," come out. He asked them, you know, bring water, bring tea, whatever, just come here, please. And everyone was sitting on the sofas, and they had been given something, fruits and a knife or something of that sort to cut and to have snacks. And this was this plot of the wife of the governor of Egypt. She wanted to get back at these women. Why? Because these women had ridiculed Zulaykha and said that you have fallen in love with a slave. Shame on you. What kind of low person you are? How can you fall in love and be attracted to a slave? So she felt insulted. So she said, I am going to fight back. You think I was weak? No, I'll prove to you that you're more weak than me. And that you will fall and scum to the love of to the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. You'll be overtaken. So قالت اخرج عليهن. I told him to come out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he entered the room, when Yusuf alayhi salam entered the room and the women were there, أكبرناه وقطعنا أيديهن وقلنا ما حاش لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم. When they saw him, أكبرناه, they were awestruck by the beauty of this person, of this Nabi, of that time who was a slave in the house of the queen. وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, and they didn't realize that they had knives in their hands, and as they were cutting those fruits, and as he came out, they didn't realize that they had what they had in their hands, and they continued cutting to an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their knives went through the fruits. I'm adding that part, it's not mentioned in the Quran, and then went through the fingers, went through the hands. They didn't realize, they didn't feel the knife cutting through the skin and the multiple layers of the skin and actually hitting through the veins and getting to the bone. They didn't feel it because they were so shocked. You know, if you hear people ask people who've had car accidents, Allah, may Allah protect all of us, in the immediate aftermath of the accident, they don't realize how many bones have been broken. They're bleeding all over the place. They don't realize that because of the shock of the accident itself, it blocks the pain sensors. And they forget that they're in pain actually. Only after, on the way to the hospital, once they reach the hospital, they realize what's happened. So here they are so mesmerized by the beauty of Yusuf that they can't feel the pain of their skin and their veins and their bones being cut. And then they exclaim, "Ma awhasha lillah, ma hada bashara." We swear this is impossible that this person is a human. He's not a human. In hada illa malakun kareem, this is most definitely a great, beautiful angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was able to have a good laugh, the last laugh. قَالَتْ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ. This is the one you used to blame me about, and this is the one you ridiculed me that I fell for. And look at all of you. You've cut your fingers. So this was the beauty of Yusuf, definitely. No doubt about that, alayhi salam. But when Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of our dear Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both as a wife and as well as a follower, She says that when people saw my husband, when people saw Yusuf, they ended up cutting their fingers, which they did, as the Quran states very explicitly. But when people see my husband, they don't cut their fingers; they end up cutting their hearts. They end up cutting out their hearts and giving it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is by no means an exaggeration, which is most definitely a proper description about the love of the Sahaba for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I will mention a few stories, and that will elucidate that point. So that is one distinguishing factor of the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it was not like the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam or the beauty of anyone else. What is the characteristic of the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, or for that matter anyone else? The first time you see them, it's, you know, drop dead gorgeous, as they say. Very nice, very beautiful, like wow. After a while, you slowly start getting used to it. And every single time you see that person or see that thing, it's not like you're awestruck, like subhanallah, again and again. No, after a while you get used to it. With a new car, with a beautiful home, with a view of the lake, whatever it is definitely not the same thing every time you see it. The first time is the best time. So that was with Yusuf alayhi salam as well. That when they saw him first time, they were mesmerized by his beauty. But when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was different. That when a person saw him first time, it took a little bit of time. But what was so interesting was about the Prophet ﷺ is that the more time they spent with the Prophet, every second that they lived and stayed and looked at the Prophet ﷺ, the love kept on increasing. The beauty of the Prophet ﷺ kept on increasing in the minds and the hearts of the people. The Prophet ﷺ had a special gift from Allah. He said, فُضِلْتُ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِسِتٍ. Allah has given me preference over the rest of the Prophets with six things. And one of those things the Prophet ﷺ said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. I have been helped by Allah. Allah has given me this gift that an enemy who is at a month's distance from me, who is walking towards me with an evil intention, Allah has helped me with something called ra'b, which means that the person who comes towards me with an evil intention at a month's distance away, he gets awestruck. And he begins to shiver and tremble out of the fear of the Prophet ﷺ at a month's distance. This was the gift. But when that same evil intention person who came with the intention of killing and assassinating the Prophet ﷺ would come near, but the Prophet ﷺ, things would change. We have an example of Fudal ibn Umair, who at that time was not a Sahabi. He was a disbeliever, and a disbeliever of the first degree, who wanted to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Ya Fudal, ماذا كنت تحدث? Oh Fudal, what were you planning? What have you been thinking all along? What's in your mind? Fudala. So he said, La shay. He said, oh, nothing. Nothing. You know how we get caught red-handed sometimes with our parents by our satayda, and then we say, no, nothing. It was nothing. So this is what he said. He said, nothing. But this is not your teacher that you can dupe, or your parents. This was the Prophet of Allah, who receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he hears this, he says, Astaghfirullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says astaghfirullah, فَوَضَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ فَسَكَنَ قَلْبُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his hands, his blessed beautiful hands, just one finger of which ended up splitting the moon, put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this beautiful blessed hand and put it on the chest and the heart of Fudala, who had come with the intention of stabbing and killing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَسَكَنَ قَلْبُهُ. Immediately the condition of his heart changed. Immediately. وَكَانَ فُضَالَ يَقُولُ والله ما رفع يده صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صدري حتى ما خلق الله شيئا أحب إلي منه. He says, no sooner did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's hand move away from my heart, except that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم became more beloved to me and in my heart more than any other creation of Allah سبحانه وتعالى on the surface of the earth. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who I had intended to kill minutes ago, now became the most beloved person under the sun. That was the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. That it didn't just mesmerize people and say, wow, how beautiful he is. But instead it actually changed their hearts completely. And that people who came to assassinate would become soldiers of the Prophet ﷺ, foot soldiers of the Prophet ﷺ. People who would say, فِدَاكَ بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. May my parents be sacrificed for you. What can you tell us? What can you command us? Another two disbelievers who had gathered together under the shade of the Kaaba and said that, One of them said to the other, I would like to go and finish off the Prophet. Na'udhu billah. This time the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina. And so the other one said, what's holding you back? Now this is an interesting lesson here for us. He said, I want to do that, I'm ready to do that, but there's only one thing holding me back. And what is that? He's not worried about death. He wants to do this huge thing which he thinks is good. Na'udhu billah. Killing the Prophet ﷺ. But he said, there's something holding me back. Believe it or not. He says that I have loans. And when I go to do this evil act, most definitely I will get killed. And I don't want to leave my family having all these loans on the account. Who's going to pay it back? It'll be a disgrace for my family that I left loans. A kafir going to do the worst possible crime in the world to go kill a nabi. But his reservations is, what's stopping him? Is that I have loans. That's something to think about. So he says, don't worry, I will take full responsibility. You go do this, and I will take care of all the loans. So he had a plan. His plan was that his son was captured in one of the battles. He was a POW, was sitting in Madinah Munawwara. He said, I am going to go with the excuse, with the pretense of going to free my son. And when I go there, I'll do something. So he goes to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ sees him. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in immediately stand up. Want to see, you know, what's happening. And he says, no, I've come here to release my son. And the Prophet ﷺ says, let him go. Come, let him come. He comes. He says, why have you come here? He said, I've come here to release my son. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. You didn't come for that. Please, tell me, what have you come for? So, when he kept on insisting, then the Prophet ﷺ spilled the beans. And said, that was it not a few days back that you and a friend of yours under the shade of the Kaaba were discussing how you're going to assassinate me? And that he was going to take care of the loans? So at that time, this person again who came with the intention of killing him, he had to raise his hands and take the Shahada, accepted Islam. And he said, because this, there was no third person, not my wife, not my children, no one in the world other than my friend and I knew this. And the fact that you know this, now definitely means that you are a Nabi of Allah. This was the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ, that anyone who would come would change, their hearts would change, and they would become soldiers of the Prophet ﷺ. So if we are attracted to someone today because of how cute they are and how nice they are, most definitely the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ surpasses every other beauty in the world. If we are looking at something that this basketball player, this football player, this comedian, this artist, this physician, this doctor, this scientist has achieved something that no one else has achieved, and that's why I want to be like them. I'm attracted towards them. Ya Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ's kamal and completeness in every field surpasses everything. As a statesman, as a leader, as a general on a battlefield, as a father, as a husband to his wives, as a grandfather, as a muallim, as an instructor, to little children, to older people, the Prophet ﷺ was complete in every nature. You know, they might be a very excellent professor, an alim, mufti sahab, who can teach very well to senior students, but you tell him to speak to little kids, he won't be able to do it. It's just difficult. Or you take someone who speaks to little kids real well, teaches first graders, second graders, give him a 12th grade class, give him a senior class, give him a college class, he won't be able to do that. The Prophet ﷺ was the best instructor. The way he would teach little children, the way he would teach adults, the way he would teach enemies, the way he would teach friends and foes, all of them together. The Prophet ﷺ was complete in every nature. And the fact that after being so beautiful and so complete, the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ is what amazes us. The humility of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is traveling with his companion somewhere, and the time for meals have come, and now, you know, we're going jamaat or whatever. We got khidmat jamaat. We got some people gonna take care of the food, and you gotta cook and whatnot. And there's no the local community is no there. They're not gonna bring it. You gotta take care of yourself. You gotta go and do all the stuff. So the Sahaba told Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one said, Ya Rasulullah, they found an animal or they hunted an animal. Said, عليّ ذبحها, Ya Rasulullah, I will take responsibility of sacrificing the animal. The second one said, عليّ سلخها, Ya Rasulullah, I will take the responsibility of skinning it, which is a very difficult job. And the third one said, عليّ طبخها, Ya Rasulullah, I'll take the responsibility of cooking it. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he is not the Amir of the Jama'at. He is not an alim or a mufti sahab or a doctor sahab or whatnot. He is the Prophet of Allah and Khatib al-Anbiya. Khatib al-Anbiya is traveling with his people. He has absolutely no need to do anything. Why should he? They're going to get their Jannah by serving him, most definitely. It's their honor that they have a chance to travel with the Prophet and to serve him. But the Prophet ﷺ looks around. He said, I'm not going to sit around. I have to do something. He said, عَلِيَّ جَمْعُ الْحَطَبِ. He said, I'll take the responsibility of collecting the firewood. Take an axe. Ever tried that? Go camping. Take an axe and actually go and collect firewood. The most difficult job, most definitely. And he said, I'll take care of that. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, نَكْفِيك. We will suffice you. You do not have to trouble yourself. The Prophet ﷺ replied, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكُمْ تَكْفُونِي. I know very well that you are sufficient. You have enough people to do the task. And you don't need my help. وَلَكِنْ أَكْرَهُ أَنَا تَمَيَّزَ عَلَيْكُمْ. But the reality of the matter is, I dislike being separate from you and having a special persona around myself or creating a special, creating a special personality around myself that you are my servants and I am the king. When he in reality he is the king of all kings. Subhanallah, the Sayyidul Anbiya. And the best of every human being, the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he says that, I don't want to do this. Why? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْرَهُ مِنْ عَبْدِي أَنْ يَرَاهُ مُتَمَيِّزًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes to see an individual, a person, having an exalted status amongst his companions. Allah does not like that. That a person props himself up amongst his companions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would be walking with people, with his own companions, we would see that sometimes he'd be walking and then he'd slow down. And so till the group would go forward. So they would say, Ya Rasulullah, why are you walking in the back? Walk in the front or walk in the middle? And he says that, again, I do not like to walk in the middle. And I don't want anything to come into my heart that I'm walking in the middle and everyone's around me. Instead, I'd like to walk in behind as the last person so that I can accompany the one who's got the slowest conveyance. The one who's got the slowest camel, the one who's got the slowest horse, I may accompany him and take care of them. That was the Prophet ﷺ's humbleness. Another person came, a Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ. And what does he do? The Prophet ﷺ is sitting on his camel, high up. And the Prophet ﷺ had a shawl of some sort, rida, around him. Right? Scarf of some sort. This person came and he began to pull on that scarf, on that shawl. So hard. Now this is not a friend, a buddy. This is Nabiyullah. And he is a Bedouin who doesn't know him. Who the Prophet has never seen him before. And he pulls him so hard that it leaves marks, a rash on the Prophet ﷺ's neck. The Prophet ﷺ does not scold him. Does not get mad at him. I mean, if a friend would do that, a friend, we know we would lose our temper on that. Here is some random Bedouin doing this to our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not scold him. He just looks and says, what is it? And he says, I want some of the wealth that Allah has given you. It's not you or your father's wealth. It's Allah's wealth that Allah has given you. Look at the derogatory, insulting words he uses. This is not you or your father's wealth. This is not your wealth or your father's wealth. This is the wealth of Allah. I want to share from it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not scold him, get mad at him, or rebuke him and say, go from here. But instead the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders animals and whatever he was asking to be given to him. And that was the sakha of the Prophet ﷺ, the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ, that the person would come and ask in such a situation, the Prophet ﷺ would also give it to him. What everything he wanted. So the Prophet ﷺ's beauty surpasses everyone else's beauty. The Prophet ﷺ is complete, as we don't have that much time actually to get into details as what a beautiful husband he was, a father, a grandfather, a teacher. But Subhanallah, definitely in every single field the Prophet ﷺ was complete. And lastly, the Prophet ﷺ gave us the greatest gift. We are more indebted to the Prophet ﷺ than anyone else. And what is that gift? That is a gift I said at the very beginning. What's the gift? Anyone can say? Yes. What was the gift that the Prophet ﷺ gave all of us? If we take away this from this speech, then alhamdulillah we've gained something. Please. What did the Prophet ﷺ give us? Come on guys. Yes. The Qur'an. Very good. And with that I had mentioned something else. Introduction to Allah. Jazakumullah khair. Right, introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would have never been introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the logical reasons as well why we all should love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. And I may end with this, that if you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly, and if you and I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we want to be with him, We need to do something for that. We can't just simply do lip service and say, I love you. You go tell your mother, I love you, Mom. And then when she asks you to take out the garbage, when she asks you to wash the dishes, when she asks you to do the chores, you say, I'm not going to do it. No, you have to back it with actions. And when we back our love with actions, meaning we follow the sunnah, inward and outward, that's what exactly is going to count in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when, on the day of judgment, we will be able to tell Allah, Ya Allah, my actions speak louder than my words. And that truly I love the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as young men and women here today, it's difficult for us to definitely to practice the deen. But in our high schools, in our colleges, wherever we are, we can take one sunnah a week, one sunnah a day, and begin to practice it and say, Ya Allah, I know these people are going to ridicule me. These people are going to make fun of me. But I'm doing this only for the sake of Allah. And I'll end with this. I think of myself, how weak I am as a person, how many sunnahs I follow, I know very well. But one thing that comes to my mind, something very simple, nothing big at all, is my beard. And it's the way I dress. And this comes to my mind, that at least on the day of judgment, maybe I can say, Ya Allah, that because of my dress, and because of the way I look, every single time I travel, I get stopped, and I get harassed, and people look at me weird, everywhere I go. Unless, Ya Allah, I did that not because it was culturally acceptable or it was because of the norm of American culture. I did it because I knew the Prophet ﷺ had a beard. And he commanded us to have a beard. And the Prophet ﷺ wore a turban. If these simple things, I did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Prophet ﷺ, and I withstand the little ridicule and the glaring eyes of the public around me, maybe, just maybe, my weak book of deeds might get a pass by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, based on that. So we all can do that. Whatever it is, something small it may be, you're being pressured not to follow it. The sister's wearing hijab, niqab, mashallah, whatnot. This under pressure. But tell yourself, I'm doing it because this is what the wives of the Prophet did. And it's my love for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi I'm doing it. Yes, I'm going to get ridiculed and get harassed. Life might be a little bit difficult. But so what? I'm not having to sacrifice my life. I'm not giving my fingers or my hands or my eyes the way the Sahaba did for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to keep us all together as one ummah, and keep our hearts attached with the Prophet ﷺ sunnah, and may he resurrect us on the day of judgment under the banner of the Prophet ﷺ. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.